Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
From the frozen tundra to your airwaves, it's time for 9 to Noon.
John Kuhn, and touchdown Packers.
The ultimate midday hangout for Packers talk, Wisconsin sports, and everything in between. He's a Super Bowl champion.
Underneath Kuhn for the touchdown.
A Green Bay legend.
Look at John Kuhn run for the first down and keep it going. Moving the pile all the way to the 6-yard line.
And Lambeau's favorite fullback, John Kuhn. He's bringing the heat, the humor, and just the right amount of chaos. Rami Makhlouf. Together, they're breaking it all down, debating every angle, and having a little fun while doing it. This is 9 to Noon on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Well, unfortunately, there's absolutely no moral victories in our sport, but I was proud of our guys' effort. I thought they battled for four quarters, and we knew it was going to be a four-quarter fist fight, and I thought our defense was outstanding, and unfortunately, just too many mistakes offensively to overcome it. I've said this many times. You hold good football teams to 10 points, you should win the football game, in my opinion. But obviously didn't do enough offensively. And, you know, we got a short week. Can't feel sorry for ourselves. We got to figure it out and come back and be better.
Matt LaFleur after a 10-7 loss. And yeah, not just your thoughts, Matt LaFleur. I think everybody thinks you give up 10 points in an NFL game and you should win that game. It is hour two of 9 to Noon. There is John Kuhn, the former Packers fullback, three-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champ. I am Rami Makhlouf. Brandon Snide along for the ride. We'll get back to you, the Nooners, at 414-677-1250. After a visit with this guy who covers the Packers for SI.com, and he joins us on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. It is a pleasure to welcome back in Jacob Westendorf. Jake, how are you this morning, my man?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me back, guys. Got to be feeling better than almost anybody else located at 1265 right now.
Yeah, it's another therapy Monday here on the 9 to Noon program. A lot of people pointing a finger at that man you just heard coming out of the break, Matt LaFleur, after that loss. Is that? I know you can never blame just one person when a football team loses, but is that where you're pointing your finger or giving the biggest slice of the blame pie?
Yeah, and you know what? That quote that you guys played, I thought it was really strange. We all kind of looked around at each other like it was kind of odd. And you know, I hearkened back to when John was playing on the 2010 team and Mike McCarthy, after they had lost to New England on the road without Aaron Rodgers, boldly proclaiming, "We are nobody's underdogs." And then last night, LaFleur, after losing 10-7 to the Eagles at home in a game where the offense looked lifeless for most of the game or is unable to finish drives and put points on the scoreboard, starts with there are no moral victories, but I'm proud of the way the guys fought. He almost sounded to me like a coach of a team who he thought was a heavy underdog, went into the game knowing that, and it was almost like, okay, well, you know, hey, we lost, but it was only by 3 points. So you know what? That's all right. It was a really weird and I think a stark contrast in the mentality that this team that I think they should have as a team that this is supposed to be a Super Bowl contender. This is supposed to be starting to compete for championships, right? That doesn't sound like the mindset of a coach who has a championship contender.
Has I'm just curious, in all of your time covering Matt LaFleur, he's not really come into press conferences with that big bravado, though, has he?
Not a ton. There are times where, you know, you can tell when he feels really good after a game that they won. After games that they've lost, there are times where, you know, I've always said, like, a locker room after a loss almost feels like somebody passed away or something like that.
Yep.
Just because of how hard you guys work and everything like that throughout the course of the week, that's how much they put into those games. The bravado, you're right. This guy, he's not Nick Sirianni, you know, he's not Mike McCarthy from those days or anything like that. I just still think there's a fine line to find that between hey, we lost, but it was only by so many, to, hey, we're the best team ever, we're going to beat you, and we're going to know it.
Was the locker room like a funeral last night when you went in there? How did this compare to other losses that you've been in the locker room afterwards?
I mean, from what I've... So I went to the podium after the game and listened to LaFleur and Love. Love sounded pretty down. LaFleur, obviously, as well. Josh Jacobs, not happy after the game was over from what I've been able to see and read and do everything like that as well. I mean, they're really confident in their team. They say all the right things, but, you know, Josh Jacobs kind of said it best. They need to stop talking about it, and they need to start doing, and doing is winning. That's the business that this team is in, is... When you make that trade in August for Micah Parsons, you make an announcement. We're here to win. We're here to win right now. And this team so far, they had a five-day stretch at the beginning of the season where they're 2-0, and we think everything's riding high, and they're going to win a championship. So now they're 3-3-1 since then. And, you know, 1 second away from being, what would that be, 2-4 since that time. You know, the tie against Dallas, they were kind of fortunate to escape with the way they handled the end of that game. So I think the guys are going to be in good spirits. They've done a pretty good job at bouncing back from that standpoint. I don't think it's a lack of belief or anything like that. They haven't played well.
What, in your opinion, is the biggest crux to this offense right now? Because we can all sit back here and at least admit the defense has been doing their job for the most part. Throughout the entire season, even when the defense has let up yards or let up points, they have still played good enough to win. What is going on in your mind with the offense?
Yeah, I think it starts up front, as it normally does. Last night, I think I saw that Love was under pressure on like 40% of his dropbacks. That's not going to be good enough for any quarterback. You know, Tom Brady has lost championship games by being under pressure the entire time. The other thing, I do think that Green Bay is leaning too much into an identity that they just can't have. I don't think that they can be this smash fest, ground and pound, establish you with Josh Jacobs. Last night, LaFleur said he thought the run game was solid. They averaged, you know, less than 3.5 yards a carry, or right at 3.5 yards a carry. That's not going to be good enough. That's a pretty poor output from the run game. Josh Jacobs has to make chicken salad anytime he touches the ball. He's being hit in the backfield. I think that the best path forward for this team has been putting the game on the shoulders of its $220 million quarterback. But then you hear last night that 4th-and-1 that Matt LaFleur makes that play call. So Jordan Love's not calling plays in the 2-minute warning. I don't know how common that is across the league, but I know Aaron Rodgers did that when LaFleur was the coach. Now, Jordan Love's not Aaron Rodgers. That's certainly a fair point. But when you look at the way LaFleur calls the game for the quarterback in there, and then you find out that Jordan doesn't have the autonomy during the 2-minute drill, it just kind of seems like they're unwilling, unable, I'm not sure what it is, but to kind of take the training wheels off and to just let things kind of hang for a little bit with their quarterback.
What did you think of Jordan Love's performance in that game last night, Matt LaFleur and his play calling aside?
Not great. The fumble at the end of the first half is a mistake. Those are ones that kind of pop up, and you almost hand wave them in the moment, kind of like the deep shot last week to Christian Watson. You're just kind of like, okay, well, there's the one big mistake. It's an arm punt. It didn't really cost them that much last night. It cost them, you know, a chance at 3 points. It took maybe, with the way the kicking situation is, I don't think it's fair to chalk up any kicking field goal as an automatic, but it may have taken 3 points off the board in a game that the Packers lost by 3 points. You know, you got to protect the football in that situation. Eat the sack. If nothing else, you're kicking a long field goal as time expires, and maybe McManus makes that, maybe he doesn't, but you cannot turn the ball over and then eventually, potentially, I should say, give life to that Eagles offense. Jordan Love, you know, he makes $220 million. And I know that there were some guys missing around him, but that's kind of the price of doing business as a quarterback in the NFL. You know, that's what's expected of you when you're paid to be that kind of player. And frankly, in some of these games over the last couple of years, he hasn't been good enough either. You know, any game that Green Bay's had over the last 2 years, they had expectations going into last year. They didn't Love's first season as a starter. The Packers are 1-7 against games that you guys would probably call big games. 0-6 last year against Philly, Detroit, and Minnesota. 1-1 this year against Detroit and Philadelphia. And Love has played poorly in a decent portion of those games as well. For a guy who makes as much money as he is and as much has been placed upon him, that's not good enough either.
All right, an offense that already doesn't have Tucker Kraft. Matthew Golden was out last night. Romeo Doubs goes down for injury. Elton Jenkins as well. Looks like that could be a significant amount of time with him. How bad could this thing get?
I mean, pretty tough. You're shuffling an offensive line that's already not very good. You're hoping that maybe they can get Golden back this week. He was pushing to play last night, according to everybody who was around, I think Tom Pelissero reported that before the game that he was trying to play. So hopefully they're able to get him back. They have to kind of find a way without Tucker Kraft. I know the comparison has been made to what you guys did in 2010 after JerMichael went down, and that's kind of the same route the Packers are going to have to take here. But, I mean, Sean Ryan has to play better than he has, and now he's got to play better than he has while playing a position that's relatively new to him. Doesn't have a ton of banked reps at it. The good news, maybe, for Green Bay is the Giants' defense is awful. They'll be playing with a interim head coach, so maybe that'll go well. Maybe it won't. They kind of just got lit up in the fourth quarter by Chicago on Sunday, and they've been pretty bad for most of the year, so maybe this can give Green Bay some confidence as they go into. I think this three-game stretch is as big as maybe any in Matt LaFleur's tenure, because they play at the Giants and they're home against the Vikings before a showdown against Detroit on Thanksgiving Day. You know, if they drop one of those and go 1-2, now you're probably on the outside of the playoff picture looking in, and all that goodwill that you built up before the season started. I mean, Matt LaFleur was asked, and in my opinion, fairly last night, are you coaching for your job? And he says, you know, Matt's not going to answer that question. He's going to say that he's always coaching for his job, and that's true. But those questions are only going to get louder if the offense continues to stink, and especially in this next three-game stretch.
Talking with Jacob Westendorf of SI.com, covers the Packers for them over there here on 9 to noon. And that was my next question for you, Jacob. The question you just said was posed to Matt LaFleur. Do you think he is coaching for his job in these last eight games that the or seven games that the Packers have left on their schedule?
I thought it was a fair question in the moment. I think it's a fair question now when you have a new man in charge, Ed Policy, who said he doesn't want a lame duck coach. To our knowledge, extensions have not been given to Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur. Then you have Brian Gutekunst say, before Policy even takes the job, it's time to start competing for championships. Then he goes out and makes a huge trade that's been unprecedented in the history of this franchise for an impact defensive player, saying, we're ready to win a Super Bowl right now. If you do that, and then, you know, for 2 years, we all had those positive feelings coming out of 2023, and I get it. They made the playoffs. They won a playoff game as a 7 seed, and the arrow felt like it was pointed sky high. Last year, they were the 7 seed again, competitive-ish against the Eagles in the playoffs, but never really had the ball with a chance to take the lead or win the game or anything like that. If you finish as the 7 seed in the playoffs or go 1-done after not winning the division or anything like that, I think there's some fair questions to be asked about, you know, is Matt LaFleur the Tampa Bay Buccaneers version of Tony Dungy, and do they need to find their version, not the same person, I do want to get in front of that, but their version of John Gruden as the guy who's going to shove this roster over the top and into the Super Bowl?
So you're not on board for John Gruden being a nominee for the next head coach?
No, I am not a proponent. Anybody who's been out of football for multiple years does not need to come back to coaching, no.
Fair enough. There was the other side of the ball last night, Jake, and the defense showed up for that one. That's a Super Bowl caliber defense right there. Like, if the offense can turn it around, that one side of the ball is figured out, I think they're right back in the discussion. Is that a crazy thing to say?
No, I don't think so. Like you said, their defense last night was a championship caliber performance. They've been really good for most of the year. They've lost three games where they've given up 16 points or fewer. That seems asinine to me that is true. They've had a hiccup here or there. The Dallas game, obviously, is the big one that stands out. But they're also going to get some reinforcements back. Lucas Van Ness should come back here in the next week or so. They were in the run. They're in the running, in the mix, whatever you want to call it, for Asante Samuel. Maybe that gives their secondary a boost. They've started sort of to take the ball away. Edgerrin Cooper with the strip of Jalen Hurts last night, something like that. And Jeff Hafley said last week that he thinks this group can become dominant. And Hafley, you know, doesn't talk out of the other side, if you know what I mean. He's he's pretty honest with you when it comes to what he sees, what he thinks, stuff like that. So I think this group has a chance to be really, really good. They need to get the offense on the same page. If they do that, and that's a huge if, because they haven't done that in the last couple weeks especially, but if they do that, then yeah, this team could be as good as anybody.
All right, Jacob, let me just ask you about, I'm not going to hold the 66-yard miss to hard on Brandon McManus, but they did have an opportunity to kick a 57-yarder earlier in the game and a 59-yarder earlier in the game, and they chose not to and even go for it on fourth down on one of those drives. What is going on? Like, what is going on there? Like, you're going to give them a try at 66, but not a 57, not a 59. Can you make any sense of that?
well, it's been a really strange situation at kicker really for the last month. You know, and this week, LaFleur says earlier in the week, it's a competitive situation at kicker. Then Rich Bisaccia talks and says, no, McManus is the kicker if I have my way. And then LaFleur tries to say that, well, you know, we just kind of made too much of those comments in the moment. It's like, well, no, those things actually happened. And you can see McManus, who was, you know, automatic last year, almost like LaFleur said coming in the season, he doesn't even think about it when McManus is on the field for kicking. And this year has not been the case. He's been poor when he was healthy. Now that it seems like he told the broadcast last night that he's only, this is the first time he's felt semi-healthy, he's carried two kickers on the roster for over a month. That is, at, and neither one of them is a kickoff specialist, so that seems crazy to me that that's the case. It's a really odd situation. I don't know what to make of it. I don't know if, like, you know, maybe the general manager thinks the kicker's not healthy and wants the insurance policy, or maybe they're giving too much credence to what Bisaccia thinks on those kicks, or LaFleur's just trusting the guy with the track record. I don't know. But at some point, you keep continuing to say you don't trust the kicker for these longer field goals that, you know, once upon a time, those were long field goals that were low percentage non-makeables. Now, I looked last night, I think there's eight kicks this season that have been made of over 60 yards. You know, those long field goals are almost commonplace now. If you don't have a kicker that can make kicks like that, you are behind in terms of a competitive advantage in that spot. So I'm not sure what to make of the kicker situation. All I know is to give you a really succinct portion of analysis there, it's weird. I think that's the best way that I can put that.
Short of Matt LaFleur calling, you know, saying every position has competition last week, it doesn't sound like they're considering a change at the kicker position. And Brandon McManus presumably gets healthier every week, Jacob. So I don't know that we should expect any for them to consider any change at quarterback at this point.
Quarterback, definitely not, but I think you meant kicker. So
oh, did I say quarterback? I'm sorry. I was talking about the kicker. My bad. My bad. I know they're not making a change at quarterback.
Yeah, kicker. I think that I understand Green Bay's thinking, right? Like, McManus has a track record. He's been a great kicker in a couple other places. He's been a great kicker here in Green Bay. And I know Lucas Haversick has made all of his kicks here and is a great story as a former substitute teacher and all of those kinds of things. But we got to remember, and this has been brought up too, Anders Carlson had a perfect start to his time in Green Bay as well. And then obviously was one of the big reasons that season ended that particular year and didn't have a job the next season out of training camp, which eventually led Green Bay to McManus. So I understand leaning toward the guy with a proven track record. It's just after every week, you can't say kickers miss kicks or this is competitive, but not really, but it also kind of is, but also not really. And then stay with your play and what you do on the field that you don't trust the kicker to make his kick. So, I mean, I guess the easiest thing for this would be if McManus starts making kicks, that makes things a lot easier. But so far, that's been tough to come by, especially since he's been injured.
All right, Jacob, my last question for you, and I'm going to give a little bit of a soapbox here. You got teams that bounce back from rough stretches in a season, and they're generally the teams that stay together, stick together in the locker room. And then you have ways where this thing all falls apart, and it's when the locker room falls apart. Either they lose faith in one another, or they lose faith in the coaching staff, or the coaching staff loses faith in them. And you know what that sounds like without them actually telling you. What do you feel with this locker room, with this group, with this team?
Yeah, I think the leadership is still really good. You know, Jordan Love, his demeanor is always kind of that steady Eddie. I think that helps in situations like these. You've got guys like Josh Jacobs, Xavier McKinney will kind of tell you what he's thinking and how it is without airing guys out in the public eye. Micah Parsons is another guy who I think has kind of been like that as well. And for as much as I've criticized Matt LaFleur, the culture in Green Bay has never been something that I think you've had to worry about. Listen, this is a guy in LaFleur who has navigated some difficult situations. You know, you've got, I think the biggest thing to LaFleur's credit is Jordan Love's first season as the starter, kind of navigating that, because I don't know this for a fact, but it makes sense commonsensically, right, that there were guys in Green Bay's locker room that thought they should have kept Aaron Rodgers, and they're transitioning to Jordan Love. So getting everybody on board with that, I see him navigate that situation. That team won a lot of games. I think Green Bay's still in a good spot from that standpoint. It really is just an on-field execution. They got to start doing better on stuff like that and kind of leaning in to figure out what they're good at.
That is Jacob Westendorf, covers the Packers for SI.com. Check out his work at Jacob Westendorf on Twitter. His latest piece, Packers feeling different sort of urgency.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
After a loss to Eagles up at SI.com right now, and our guest for the last few minutes on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Jacob, great job, man. We always appreciate the time and the insight.
Thanks, Dallas. Talk again.
There's Jacob Westendorf joining us again, at Jacob Westendorf on Twitter, and find his work at SI.com/NFL/Packers. We'll hit a quick break. Coon's keys to the game after this, and more of your calls, your texts at 414-677-1250. Win 9 to noon with John Coon returns on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network and powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.